the yarmouth. Very good. Well, in some of Beis Amon Aleph at the top, Halacha Beis, Perek Shmini, Halacha Beis. Shvius Nitenas Nachilas Shtilas Sicha. This is a very simple Mishnah. We know you could eat Shemitah food, you could drink Shemitah drinks, you could anoint with Shemitah oil, right? All these things. I think we had the Pasuk Lachem, right? We had that Pasuk earlier in an earlier parak. And not only that, the Lachem Pasuk that we had earlier, remember, it told us an additional thing, not only all these, but it also had, I think it was dying, right? Remember? For some reason, dying is not mentioned in this Mishnah. Look at Dovash Darki Lachal, eat something that's normally eaten. Losok Dovash Darki Losok, if you normally anoint yourself, you could do it, but that's the normal use. But, but you can't use wine and vinegar, obviously, because that's not its usual use. Losok as Hashem, you could use oil. The same rules are Truma and Maisa Sheni. You could eat what's usually food, and you could, you know, but you can't change from what is normally used to something else. The same Isurim, in other words, the same Heterim and the same Isurim. The Vachain goes on both, right? Yeah. Kamehen, this one Kula, Shvius Shenit Nil Halakas Haner. There's a Kula that you can, what? You can light a candle, a lamp, with the oil of Shemitah. So seven, it says over here, whereas olive oil of Truman Meiser Shani may not be used for kindling lamps. What's the pasuk say over there by Avidoi Meiser? What does it say? Does it say Befeirush over there on the pasuk? I didn't use it to light, right? Olive oil of Shvius may be used for this purpose. Because it says here, Kol Tuvos Halachol, so you can. And then it says other things over here. Okay.
It says the word Tiyah is extra.
Tiyah. Yeah. Okay. So we have that special heter. Zok the Gemara. Ketzad loyma lochal dover shadaki lechol. What does it mean to eat it? Ein mechayven oisei lechol loy pas she'ipsha. Even is there's... this is an interesting thing. You're not married to a Holocaust survivor's child, but I am. To me, this is a very telling remark. Because my wife, if there's something that's edible, you're going to eat it. You're not going to throw that in the garbage. Because that's the mentality they're brought up with. And to me, if the tomato is a little bit, you know, fafoilt, like we say in Yiddish, it's a little bit already a little soggy, I don't eat it anymore. So, over here, the Gemara Mamash goes out of the way to say, well, you know, if there's a mitzvah to eat Shemitah food, so eat it, you know, regardless if it's not fresh. Maybe if it's, you know, pas she'ipsha, what if it's moldy bread? Maybe I'm mechuyav to eat that too, as long as it's edible, right? For lo knivas yerek she'ipsha. I'm sorry, lo knivas yerek, not leaves that are trimmed from greens. It means that they're withered, spoiled. Lo tavshal shenis kalkin saraso, or cooked food that has a spoiled appearance. That's so, although it says, right, it's not supposed to be wasted, but you're not obligated to eat stuff that's not really normally eaten. Okay, so in other words, be normal. Be normal with the food. You don't have to eat food that you don't normally eat. V'chein. It has a chumrah. Who should be kesh lachol tradin chayin alochus kitim chayos. If he wanted to eat raw beets or chew raw wheat, in Shemalah, you can't listen to him. In other words, you're not allowed to do that because you don't normally eat wheat raw. You don't usually eat beets raw, and therefore eating it that way is not normal, and you can't. And that's the chumrah, right? Can't tell the shesh. Same thing with drinking. Here too. We don't make him drink this anigrin or iksagorin drink. These are drinks which are normally eaten by sick people, I think. 11. Anigrin is water which beets were cooked Iksagorin is water in which other vegetables were cooked. These broths were customarily drunk only after olive oil was mixed in. It tells us that if you don't have any olive oil, you're not required to force yourself to drink them plain. That's what it says here at the bottom. So, in other words, you're not required to force yourself to eat something or drink something in an abnormal way. You don't have to drink wine with the sediment. Normally, wine, you take out the sediment. Okay? If you have a toothache, you shouldn't take vinegar in your mouth from shrias produce and spit it out, because that is not a customary use for vinegar for healthy people. In other words, he's an unhealthy person, right? He has a toothache. So it's okay for him to use the vinegar to help alleviate the pain, but not if it means he's going to exclusively use it for that purpose. So you can, you could go ahead and zip the vinegar, relieve the pain, and then swallow it, because then you're acting the way normal people who sometimes swallow vinegar would behave. You could dip your food, don't worry about that. That's all common. So this is pretty poshut, right? If you have a sore throat, don't gargle, right, with oil. Meaning, and then spit it out. That's what it means. And you could put in a lot of oil into a nigrin and then swallow it. What's the Gemara over there on the sixth parak of Brachas that says over there you make a hayitz on shemen? And the Gemara says, Beferish over there, shemen is mazik. You really wouldn't make a bracha on shemen at all because it's mazik. It's only idea nigrin. The Gemara says you make a hayitz on it, right? So over here, too, shrias, you can't drink straight oil from shrias because it's mazik. Actually, it's mazik you, and that's not the way it's normally eaten. The Mishnah says, shrias was given to anoint oneself. Lo yosok yayin v'chaymetz. You cannot anoint yourself with wine or vinegar. Avosok v'as Hashem, you can use oil. Hachayshis rosho. If you have a pain in your head, Aisha olu b'yachatotin, you have these scabs. Sok shema, you could rub oil. Lo yosok yayin v'chaymetz, you can't use wine or vinegar. Obviously, that's not normally used, right? It says over here, Tosefta has additional clause. In footnote 20, Shah Shemen Darkar Lasicha, Yayim Chemitz Ain Darkar Lasicha. Obviously, that's not the normal use. Okay.
So would that change now in our days that we don't use oil to be Sach? You won't be able to use oil.
Absolutely. He brings that down. He actually brings it down from a Zalman. Nowadays, I remember I saw that. That was actually earlier. I think that's right at the beginning. Hold on a second. Here. Look on page 62A1, footnote 5.
I don't know how to say it.
The Mishnah refers to olive oil, which has Shriya sanctity and was used for anointing in earlier times. Nowadays, when it is no longer common for people to anoint themselves with olive oil, it is no different than wine and vinegar, and may not be used even for medicinal anointing. He brings that from Rav Yosef Shalom Alyashev. Yeah, so that's,
It changes with the time.
It changes, definitely are changes over here.
So all these things, I'm saying we don't use it for throat pain, for head pain.
I would imagine not. I don't know. We're up to 62B. It says, "Ein mafat min shemah shol shvius." So you can't perfume, right? You can't soak spices in oil. That's shvius because the spices will absorb the oil into the spice. And what normally happens is you throw the spices out after it's finished soaking it, and then obviously, since you're going to be ma'abe, the shemen that was absorbed into the spices. That's the pashup shot. There are alternative shotim, but that's the pashup shot. So here, some girsos changes over here, but the idea is you can buy perfumed oil for anointing from anywhere, meaning even if it's somebody who's normally chashud. We're going to see in a second. You know, that's the Gemara is going to talk about this. It sounds like you're going to buy this oil which already was perfumed, and you don't have to be worried about maybe it was made in a way which was not permitted. So Rabbi Imi Savar Meimar Afilu Mar Chashad, that you could even buy it from someone who's suspected of violating the prohibitions and perfuming Shvi'as oil, even though he wasn't supposed to. So what he says on 4, he says a very simple thing. Normally we say you're not supposed to be Machzik Yidei Oyver Aveira. But he says since the market for this kind of oil is so small, it's a non-existent market. So the Chacham were not concerned that if by your buying this oil, you're going to encourage him to make more of it. It's just not a thing to worry about. So therefore, they look the other way. That's Rabbi Imi's shita. Now, Rabbi Yossi disagrees. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Like, I'm well, but no idea in question or in question. The only time they allowed it is if you didn't know one way or the other. But Hadavar Bari Shuhu Chashad, if you knew for sure that he was Chashad, also you would not be allowed to buy the perfumed oil either. Okay? So, number 5, he says, nevertheless, one may buy ordinary perfumed oil from anyone, even from an Am Haaretz, who is not scrupulous in his Shvi'as observance, without concern that perhaps he made it with Shvi'as oil, because they can make it just as easily without Shvi'as. In other words, the only time we were talking about till now, whether it was a machlokas, that's if you're talking about something you know for sure was made with Shvi'as materials. But over here, if you don't know, what he's adding here is that if you don't know one way or the other, you can assume it was made properly. Okay. Next. Now, we didn't talk about spicing wine. He says that the Mishnayos in that talk about Trumas and Maaseh Sheni, which are in Masechta Trumas, chapter 11, and Maaseh Sheni, chapter 2, there they do talk about wine, and they explicitly permit the spicing of Truma and Maaseh Sheni wine. Okay? So, let's see what it says over here. So he says in footnote 7, wine is different than oil. In other words, that's the question. How come when it comes to oil, you can't do it by Maaseh Sheni and Truma? Whereas when it comes to wine, you can. What's the difference? Wine is different than oil. The reasons for prohibiting the perfuming of oil do not apply to the spicing of wine, as mentioned above. Perfuming oil is prohibited either because some oil is absorbed in the herbs and goes to waste, or because the oil is rendered inedible. With respect to wine, nothing is wasted. The added pepper and honey blend with the wine, they're consumed together with it, and the wine obviously remains edible. So the reasons behind the Isurim of oil by Meiser and Truma do not apply by wine, and it is mefurish in the Mishnayos that it is mutter. But we don't have, and the Brisa does not mention anything about wine, so the Gemara decides to ask, Mehu lefateim yayin shel shvi'as. What about spicing wine of Shvi'as? Yishmir minadu, let's learn out from here. We'll bring a riot. Kalmehem Shvi'as shenit l'halakas haner. Let's take a look in the Mishnah itself. It says that after saying that the same Isurim and Heterim of Dover Shadaki Lachol, Lishris Dover Shadaki Lishtois, applies to Shuma and Meiser. It says Kal, that Shvi'as has a kulal, what? That you can light, right? That's what it says in the Mishnah. Now, it doesn't contrast that with anything else to say, well, there's a kula by Meiser Sheni and Truma that you could be mefatim yayin, and by Shvi'as you cannot, right? Hadarma shuhu mutra, so you see that it's the same. In every other respect, they're the same. That's basically the idea. Mishnah does not contrast this with any instance in which Truma and Meiser are more lenient than Shvius. So it implies any leniency applicable to Truma and Meiser Sheni would apply to Shvius as well. That's a simple Raya. In fact, the Gemara about Tani Aser, there's a Brisa that says that it's Aser. So what's going on? You have a Raya from the Mishnah that it's Mutter. You have a Raya from, you know, the Brisa says it's Aser to spice Shvius wine. So the Gemara, Mablazer Rabbi Yehuda he. That the our Mishnah, which is mashma that it's mutter, is Rabbi Yehuda's shita. The Braisa, which is mashma, well, not which is mashma, which says that it's osur, that's going to be the Chacham who argue on Rabbi Yehuda. Where is this machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? So it's going to quote it in a second. Rabbi Yehuda matim meishu mashbichoi. Rabbi Yehuda is matir. Let's see, where is he? Is he quoted here? Yeah, it's the next page. The Mishnah Truma says one may not cook wine of Truma because he reduces it, right? In other words, when you boil up wine, some of it's going to evaporate, so that causes it to be goli ibud. So that's why the Tanakhama holds you're not allowed to cook wine of Truma. Rabbi Yehuda's matcha wine, but they Truma shbicho because it makes it better. So you have a machlekes tanoim whether you could cook wine or not. So the Gemara is trying to say, right, very simple, that the our Mishnah that says that it's mutter comes out like Rabbi Yehuda, who's mutter over there, and the Brice over there that says it's also, it's going to come out like the Chachama. That's basically what it says. Let's see. There's a big footnote here, 13. Spicing wine is analogous to cooking it. Spicing reduces the number of potential drinkers. Some don't like the taste of spiced wine. On the other hand, it enhances the wine for the owner himself. According to the rabbis, it's spicing truma wine is prohibited. According to Behuda, it's permitted. Serbalazar says the dispute applies also to Shvius wine. According to the rabbis, it's prohibited. According to Behuda, it's mutter. Okay. That's it. Kamehem Shvius Shenitnu Lahadlokas Ner. Now, where we have a kula, that you could light a lamp. So, like the Gemara, what do you mean? What is kal? Sounds like the truma is also to light for ner. And we know that's not true. You know, if you have truma that's tamei, that you could light a lamp with it. So, why does it say that it's kal? From Truma. Truma also could be used for a lamp. Whereas the answer is very simple. Truma lo nitlo lahadlokas aner, frek the Gemara. Gemara answers, no, Truma tamei nitlo lahadlokas aner. You could use Truma, but it has to be tamei. Shvius afilu tahor nitlo lahadlokas aner, but there's a kal mehem shvius, even if it's not tamei. That is the difference. Let's see. It says over here in 16, right? So Shvius produce is more lenient than Truma with respect to kindling lamps. Now the Gemara does not discuss kindling with Meiser Sheni. The Torah says it's forbidden to kindle lamps with Meiser Sheni that is Tomei. Right? Obiyati mimenu b'tomei. Right? That's the pasuk. Obiyati mimenu b'tomei. Right? I didn't burn Meiser Sheni when it was Tomei. So the Pasuk says Beferish, you cannot burn Tomei Meiser Sheni. So it's very interesting. You think about it, it's like this, it's this interesting reverse logic. When it comes to Truma that's Tomeya, you could burn.
Not Torah.
Truma that's Torah, you cannot burn. Meiser Sheni, the opposite. Meiser Sheni that's Tahar, you can burn. Meiser Sheni that's Tomei, you cannot burn.
Shvius
doesn't make a difference. And which one has the highest level of Kedusha? I think the highest Kedusha of all of them is Truma, for sure, right? So I think he points this out a little bit. The Torah specifies it's forbidden to light lamps with Meiser Sheni that's Tomei, which implies that you could do it if it's Tahar. The law of lighting Meiser Sheni is the opposite of Truma. Oil of Truma could be used only when it's Tomei. Oil of Meiser Sheni, only when it's dark. Accordingly, the Rash explains, when the Mishnah says that Shvius is more Kal than Truma and Meiser Sheni, it means like this. Truma may be used for kindling only when it's Tameh, and Maaser Sheni only when it's Tahar. Shvius can be used whether it's Tameh or Tahar. That's what we just finished saying. That's the Rash. But Rashi in Yevamos says that when the Torah says that you can't burn Maaser Sheni that's Tameh, it means even when it's Tameh. But you can't bring Rashi holds that you can't even burn Maaser Sheni even when it's Tahar. It's interesting machlokes over here. Right. Okay. Now, next page, 62b3. So it says like this: Rebchizkiya al mischei. See, he's going to bathe in the bathhouse. He gave a flask of oil to Zusimi, the bath attendants. He wants him to warm it up, right? He's giving him this oil to warm up so that when he gets out of the bath, it will be nice and warm, ready for him to anoint himself with it, right? And it's Shvius oil, right? So, bring it to me in the inner room after I anoint myself. Amalei less osur, he says, is it not prohibited to anoint yourself with shvius oil in the inner room? Now, for some reason, this discussion has changed from the use of the item to the place where the item is being used. All of a sudden, there's an issue here where inner rooms are not proper. In other words, it's like a bazillion. You're on the inside, everyone's naked, no one's wearing any clothing, and it's not proper to have stuff which has kedusha on it, such as shvius oil. That's what it says over here. It's a disgrace to the sanctity of the shvius produce to use it in that room. So he seems to have it, his objection seems to be the fact that you're using, that he's asking him to bring it to him in the inner room, in the Yashuna. I didn't look in this on the Hebrew side to see how he knows this pshat in the English. Let's see. Yeah, I guess it will become clear. So, Asa Shal Rabbi Yirmiya, and we're on Daf Samach Gimel. So, Rabbi Chizkiya left the bathhouse, and he asked Rabbi Yirmiya the question, Amalei. So, Rabbi Yirmiya told him, he's asking Rabbi Yirmiya, what's the din? He told him it's Taka Asar. That's the way it's said. That's the way he has it here in the English. It's like missing, the words are missing over here. It just says, he came and he asked him, Amalei, it doesn't say what he told him, but we're assuming he told him it was Osir. Osir va Amalei, so Rukiska came back to Zusimi, and he said to him, Limad Tanu, you caused me to inquire further, so you taught us this law. The Tani came, and it's in the Braisa. You cannot anoint yourself with Shrius oil inside the bathhouse, i.e., in the innermost room. But you could put the oil on outside the bathhouse, and while it's on you, walk into the bathhouse. Right? You can't candle a lamp with truma oil that is tamei. This is a very interesting din. So this apparently is not considered covet for Truma Tameya to use it to light the base medrash. I mean, I would have thought that's the biggest covet, right? But here it says Beferish, you can't do that. What's the pshat in this? The name Bezoyan Kachim. It's considered a Bezoyan. How do you understand this din? This is very, very strange, then, no? Number five, there's a big footnote here. He brings in the Rash that he does not understand the Brisa's ruling with respect to Truma, that the Mishnah in respect to Truma explicitly allows using oil of Truma that is Tomei to light the synagogues and the study halls. What's going on over here? Rosh Cirillo suggests the Brisa is referring to one who vowed to donate oil for lighting in the synagogue. Right? We just had this Orla Meir, what's it, what they call that campaign to... light up. Ner Lamar. So you have this Ner Lamar campaign, and you decide you're going to donate to that campaign. You make a neder, right? So since he has an obligation to provide the oil, it is disgraceful for him to do so with truma that is tomei. It's tantamount to paying a debt with truma. That's very difficult, because the Mishnah Bikurim says that it's memoinai shel kohen. And he can use it for whatever he wants. He can pay off debts with it. So that's a very difficult pshat. There's another pshat that you can only light it in public places if there's a Kohen present. But if there's no Kohen present, then you can't do that. That might be the pshat. So the Brisa was coming to tell me that if there's no Kohen present, you can't use it to light the Bata Midrashas. I think it's very sure. According to this explanation, however, the reason the Brisa gives, because it's a disgrace to the holies, isn't precise. It's because the truma is prohibited for benefit to non-Kohanim. So that doesn't fit the text altogether. Mara Fulda suggests the Mishnah allows truma oil for kindling lamps in synagogues and study halls only when other lamps using chulin oil are also lit. So here we have, you have to have a source of light which is adequate, and all you're using the trumal oil for would be added light, right? But for it to be the sole source of the light, that would be awesome. It's not, now we're getting, it's getting a little, a little more detailed.
He says that
there's... What's he say?
There's a girsa. The original girsa was batei kisos and batei merchatzos. And you see it there also in the English?
Yeah.
Is it in the English also?
He brings that there was an abbreviation.
And they expanded
it incorrectly.
Correct. Is that interesting?
Yeah.
That would make sense, because that's a bizarre, because it's kochim. What we just said about bringing it into the inner room.
Correct.
But Batei Knesset and Batei Medrash would be...
It seems very strange.
Yeah.
Right? Very strange. Now the Gra has a twist on this. He says that the whole girsa we have is wrong. He says we're not talking about lighting. We're talking about sach. Can't anoint yourself with oil in a shul. That's a bizayin. So I found that very fascinating. Because, it's one thing for it to be a bazillion to the kachim that you're using, I guess. But I was thinking, this might be a makar that it's not kavodik for the shul. For me to be going into shul and for me to be anointing my body with oil in a shul, what are you doing? It's not proper. It's not a proper use of the shul. So I thought, I like that shot. And I was wondering, here I go with my craziness, how about that garbage that everybody puts on their hands and they're doing this? Maybe that's not such a covet. Maybe. I never liked that stuff. All right. Halakha 3. Okay, this is very interesting. Ain my compares shrias lomamino lomishkov lomaminyan. You can't sell paris shrias. It's lachol v'loschari. You can't do business with it, right? So you can't sell it by weight, measure, and so on. Lo ta'ain of a minyan lo yark b'mishkol. You can't sell figs by number, vegetables by weight. Beishamai oimrim. Beishamai says, aflo agunas. You can't even sell vegetables in tied bunches, because that's the way they normally are sold in the market, right? They categorically prohibit selling vegetables in tied bunches, Even if the number of bunches is estimated and not counted, you can only sell loose vegetables. Okay. They still says no. As a doctor, land goes from bias organism of a shuk. Produce that is customarily tied in bunches in the home can be tied in bunches for sale in the market. So what this means is, it says over here, we're going to create some next color, leeks and milky blossoms. So it says in 11, it was customary even for private householders to tie these and similar vegetables in bunches so they should be able to easily reckon the amount they needed each week. Bunching these vegetables is not indicative of commercial use, so you can sell them like that, but they prohibit it if it's done exclusively for commercial purposes. Now, the Rambam, he says a little bit differently. He says we're talking about the type of knot that was being used. So if you tied your knot in a manner of the household, then you could sell it. But if you're going to tie it the way they tie it in the store, then you cannot. So they still would mean the household bunches have a distinct style. That's to say the knot has a distinct style. So you could sell them at the market because it provides a specific indication that they're not of commercial origin. So, but if there wasn't such an indication, if everybody tied everything the same, then you couldn't sell them anyway. Okay, so then we have two pshatim over here in Beis Hillel. Okay? Was there anything I missed there?
Is this like the radishes and the scallions and the carrots?
Yeah.
The kind of stuff that tied together? It's a bunch?
Yes. So, it's an eight. Even when the sale of Shriya's produce is permitted, the produce may be sold only by rough estimate, not in exact measures, gallons, pints, exact weights, pounds, ounces, or exact numbers, dozens or half dozens. Okay, so that's basically what the Mishnah is saying. That's the Yesod. So let's accept the Yesod of the Mishnah, which is you can't sell things, you can sell things on Shmias in certain conditions, but the manner in which you sell them has to be much different than the way you normally sell things the rest of the Shemitah year. The Shemitah years, yeah. So now the Gemara says, Loma. So why is there this Isser to sell by weight? We want people should sell the produce at a reduced price. Let's see. It says over here, it's to highlight its ownerless origin. So if you invested time, money, and effort in a product, you sell it at the highest possible price. But if you acquire something from Hefker, then you sell below the market value. So we're trying to highlight the fact that this was originally Hefker. And so therefore, the Chacham decided to make it more difficult to sell it unless you sell it in a cheap way. So, V'yishkelu b'litra v'yimkru b'zol. Let the sellers be allowed to weigh against a litra. A litra is just a countermeasure. And then let them be required by the Chachamim to sell it at a reduced price. Right? Why can't Chazal make a special takona to control the price? It's a very direct kind of question. Right? If the objective is merely to have Shri's produce sell for less, it's a straightforward to decree this outright than to accomplish it circuitously through a decree that could be that it be sold by estimation. So Gemara says, Omar Ad Kain, if you were to do that, Afhu Einu Nag Ben Kedusha, then you would be lax, you wouldn't treat the produce with the same Kedusha as Shvias. So you recognize its Kedusha and you treat it accordingly. That's what it says over here. Yeah. If the rabbis had decreed this outright, it would have caused people to denigrate the Shvi'is produce. To achieve low prices without denigration, they declared the sale will be made by estimation. You know, this is like trying, What I find most fascinating about all these Gemaras in the Yerushalmi that we keep seeing is the Yerushalmi deals more with what the thinking of Chachamim were in their Gzeiros than anything we've ever seen before. This is like getting into the mind of Chazal and how they worked every detail out in terms of, you know, making sure everything was covered. Tony, Peres Pitzul Arts, Shenipusul Arts. If you have, this is very interesting. This is a very, very rare rule. You have Peres from Chutzul Arts coming into Eretz Yisrael. So you have Peres that have no Kedusha Shvius whatsoever. They're coming from Chutzul Arts. They're coming into Eretz Yisrael during the Shemitah year. No human coming. No medium, no mishkov, no minion. And look at Paris Arts, you have to sell them just as if they're Paris Arts Yisrael. Very interesting footnote here from the Chazai Nish. What's the reason? It's because it might be mistaken. It's not like a Marasayan, right? It might be mistaken for produce of Arts Yisrael. The Chazai Nish notes, this is the only instance in which we find that the rabbis treated produce from outside the land like Shvius produce of the land. Very interesting. This is the one case. So this is like the exception. Very interesting. if it's
nicker held today, I'm saying, is that still halacha l'maaseh?
It says if it's nicker, it's mutter. If it's nicker, that the produce is not from Eretz Yisrael, right?
Right, because in our days also things are labeled, made in Mexico, made in...
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. I have no idea. I'm Rabbi Yossi Birdborn. I'll cut that out. That comes out on my recording. I don't like that. I'm Rabbi Yossi Birdborn. Elaine Kurdikaya, the Sultan of Azanam and Susisa Lutraya. These Kurdikians, what's the name of a place? They come up to Eretz Yisrael and they sell produce they bring from Susia, which is outside Eretz Yisrael, and they bring it to the markets of Tveria. So it's nicker that it's from outside Eretz Yisrael, so it could be sold by Midam Mishko. That's an example. A seller who usually measures out in an ordinary basket, but you know what happens? If you start to sell things in a basket, after a couple of times, you get used to, you get custom to what that basket can hold. So for you, that basket becomes like a measure. The precise measure has become confirmed, having used it a couple of times. You can no longer use that basket. So you can use it one or two times, but once it becomes, you know, established, no more. Next page, 63b. You can't tell the seller, use your fingers to measure. So, I think the shot is that it's a talent, I guess. It says in 2, some people can measure with their fingers how much a vessel contains. So you can't tell the seller to use this method to figure out how much he's selling him. I'm not exactly sure how this is working. I mean, are you going like this with your fingers, and because you have so much experience that when I'm a professional marketer, so I go like this and I look at the produce between my fingers. I know if I see between my two fingers that amount, that's 20 gallons. So you can't do that. I guess that's a pshat. I don't know any other pshat. Tavakan shenismana lebuchar. What if you have a butcher who happens to receive a buchar that has a balmum, and he's allowed to sell that balmum? Mahu mekatei kopten mazamten gavel truka. So can he cut up the slices in his own home? He's got his little private butcher shop in his little kitchen there. He'll cut up the animal into pieces, and then he'll go ahead and he'll sell it in the marketplace.
What's the issue?
So So the question is like this. So in footnote 4, it says the following. The Mishnah in Bukhara says that even when a sale of a Bukhar is mutter, you can't sell it in the meat market or weigh it on a scale in a usual manner. Because selling meat of a Bukhar, or of ordinary... an ordinary merchant, in the manner of ordinary merchandise, is a bezayin. The Gemara is asking, is it mutter for the butcher who receives the blemished bechor to butcher its meat into regular slices at home as he would ordinary meat, then take it out to the market for sale? The question is, the prohibition on selling the meat of a bechor at a market pertains even when it was sold by a butcher in the manner of meat that he butchers at home. In other words, cutting up the meat at home is like that's like a little different style, I guess, of the way that than the way it's done commercially in the store.
What could you show this chor
b'al? It has, you know,
I thought
it's chulei. It's einu nimkar b'ilus. You're not allowed to sell b'ilus.
Right, but I'm saying anybody could eat it.
Yes, it's true, but there is.
So what's the definition of that kedusha?
The Chacham were makbid that you can't be mevazet. There's an Indian of tizbach v'avayda tizbach v'lochala. What is it? I forgot the drasha. You can't use it for anything. I think you can't use it for shearing. I don't remember milking. I forget exactly. There's different things that they're not allowed. Been a while since I learned Bechairis. So that's the question. Okay. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Safar Meimar Shrim in Hadar. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu thought that it was mutter. And he wanted to bring a raya from our Mishnah. Shadakilu Yogim Abayis Ognoisim Bashuk. It says if you customarily tie it in bunches in the home, so you could tie it in bunches in the market. Right? So just like when it comes to Shvius produce, if the way is typical in your home, it's different than the way it's done in the Shuk. Then you could sell it in the market. So the same thing should be true for Bechor. As long as he cuts it the way he does it at home, maybe you could do it in the market the same way. That was the attempted raya. Right? So Amar Mana called Garmo he Amra Dehu Asur. On the contrary, the whole essence of the Mishnah is that it's prohibited for the butcher to sell the butcher slices. Shalihu Ka'esis Char Begufai. It should not be perceived as doing business with the Bukhar. So he says over here, we still are permitted selling bunches of vegetables only when they are customarily made into bunches in the home for non-commercial purposes. In the case at hand, even when the butcher cuts the meat slices in his home, he does so for commercial purposes since he sells the meat from his home. So it does give the sale a commercial aspect, and therefore it's also. So, in fact, the butcher is prohibited to sell the meat of a bechor even from his home. For a butcher's home is tantamount to market. Okay. I don't have the details over here. The question over here seems to be, you know, is the fact that he's not working out of his shop and working out of his home. That's apparently not enough because it's a piece of cut meat is a piece of cut meat. I mean, I don't know what the difference is. You cut a steak, it looks different than you cut it up in Wasserman Lemberg's store and you cut it up in his kitchen. I don't understand what the difference is. Okay. Now, here we're going to talk about hiring someone to do work for you during the Shemitah year. So, you're allowed to pick Shemitah produce, and it's all hefty, right? But you don't have to do it yourself. I don't want to go out and work hard. I want to sit in the home and learn. And the Vilna Gaon says, the Feirish, that you can go ahead and, you know, you should. You ever see the Gros, the Igeres HaGros? The Igeres HaGros, he writes, don't go out to market. He tells his kids, his wife, whatever. Don't go out into the market and do your own shopping. Pay for other people to bring it to you, so you don't have to go out into the street. It'll cost you a little more. Hashem Yishalayim, don't worry about it. And that was, he advocated this, you know, having people shop for you and deliver you the food. That he held, that was like a big thing. So here, you're going to hire a worker to go ahead, and he's going to pick for you the Shemitah produce for you, right? That's the case. Chaim on the pile. He says to a worker, Helecha Isser Zev, Elokate Li Yarek Hayom. Here, take this Isser and collect for me vegetables. So, Scharei Mutter. You could, the issue is like this. If do I look at the pay that the worker got, is that an exchange for the produce? If it's an exchange for the produce, then it'll take on a Kedusha Shvius. Or no, is it considered a hiring money, and therefore it's just for my work, and therefore, of course, there's no Kedusha on it. So Skar Mutter means it's 100% Mutter. There's no Shvius Kedusha at all. Lakately Boy Yerek Hayom, if I say, go collect with the value of this Isser, you know, let's say, I mean... It's like I gave you $10 bill. I say, Dov, go out and collect me $10 worth of oranges. So, I didn't hire you. I didn't say, Dov, here's $10, work
from... From my field?
From the Shrius.
But from my field?
You don't own a field. Nobody owns a field. It's all hefker.
No.
Nobody owns the field.
Just the payers are hefker. The field is not.
Yeah.
I'm telling somebody to go to pick from my field.
Yeah, but it's not yours. It's that's what I mean. That's not what I was talking about.
That's not what I'm talking about.
No, we're talking about a sound. I'm telling you to go down the block.
Oh, to
Yenim's. Yenim's field. Go to the orchard. So it's a difference the way I say it to you. If I say this is $10, here's $10 for the day, collect for me, you know, Paris. So that's Skorei Mutter. But if I say, here, collect for me $10 worth of Paris, here's $10.
The
Kedusha is going to go on the money. That's what it seems to say in the Mishnah. It's a tricky Mishnah, because we're going to change this. Lakatli boi yarkayim, Skorei Osir. Pick vegetables for me for this Isser, then it becomes Kedusha. Okay? Lakach ben hanachdom. If he took from a baker a loaf of bread worth a punyon, and I say, look, you know, so in other words, I walk into the bakery shop and I get a loaf of bread from you. I don't have any cash on me, so you know, I don't have any cash on me. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go out and I'll pick vegetables today because it's, you know, everything's hefker. I'll collect vegetables, and I'll bring it back to you, and it'll be used as pay for this loaf of bread. Okay? Mutter, that's okay. Look if he made a stamp, but if he took the loaf without specifying, lo yishalem with mei shrius, you should not pay him with shrius money. Shein paron chob with mei shrius, you can't use shrius money to pay off debts. Okay? And that's like it says in the Marafolda Havleik Tzchayra. That's like Tzchayra, right? So, let's see. The first case, let's see 13. It doesn't violate. In the case where the first case says it does not violate the prohibition against repaying a debt with Shrias produce. Because vegetables are freely available in Shvius. Since vegetables are freely available, the buyer's statement is not viewed as a commitment to pay with vegetables, but as a pledge to the baker to do the baker a favor of picking some free vegetables for him. So the baker does his fellow the favor of giving him a free loaf, and the fellow returns the favor by bringing him free vegetables. So it's totally... It's everybody's being very generous.
Tax-free.
tax-free, you're giving me a gift of a loaf. I'm giving you a gift of vegetables. Everything's, we're all beautiful. Rambam has a different approach, explaining what? When the buyer stipulates in advance he will pay with shvius vegetables, he's not buying on credit and then repaying the debt. Rather, he's exchanging the vegetables for the bread. The stipulations causes the transaction to be defined as an exchange, even though he does not have the vegetables at this time. So you can exchange it. Interesting. But if you take it otherwise, then it's different. Okay, very interesting. So the Gemara asks a question. The Gemara says, what? Ma vein ha'omer lakeit li, ma vein ha'omer lakeit li bo.
The ratio of the Mishnah.
The ratio of the Mishnah. It says that the difference between when I say pick vegetables for me and pick vegetables for me for the sister. What's the difference? The Gemara says, Rabavim b'shem Reb Yosi ben Chanina, may halachas shal imum hi. This is one of these obscure halachas we find in the Talmud. This is a very interesting Gemara. This Gemara is going to go for like a couple of paragraphs. But it's just a very interesting thing. The Gemara feels that, you know what, it's really hard to make a distinction here. There's really no distinction. But the Chachamim decided they wanted to make a heter, so they came up with a heter. It's what it sounds like. It's a very strange thing. It says over here, 16, granted the distinction between the cases is essentially unclear. By right, we ought to be stringent even when the patron says have an isser and pick vegetables for me. However, the rabbis deemed it necessary to be lenient in order to afford laborers an opportunity in Shvius to earn wages that are free of Shvius sanctity and can be spent on non-foods. Therefore, they extended themselves, and they relied upon a technical distinction between having this sister and pick vegetables and pick vegetables for me for this sister. Very interesting. The rabbis were able to be lenient because even in the latter case, the money has Shvius only on a rabbinical decree, and therefore, again, so imum here is related to gimgum, obscurity or vagueness, lack of clarity, or imum is dim. This is halachas shel imum hi. Okay, now the Gemara is going to say another case. Here's another obscure halach. Taman taninu. Lo yomer adam l'chaveri halas haperos ha'ilu Yerushalayim l'chalek. I shouldn't tell you, okay, take these meiser sheni payers. I don't have kayak to go to Yerushalayim with all these payers, but you're going. You're young. Take all these pears and we'll divvy it up there, right? I'll give you some Meiser Sheni when we get to Yerushalayim. You'll take some. I'll take some. Shouldn't do that, right? Lo Yomrei, shouldn't do that. Because that implies that you're getting a portion of the fruit as your wage, and you can't pay again a wage with Meiser Sheni produce. Torah says it's for eating, right? Just like Shvius, we said the same thing, right? We keep seeing this pattern. The Mishnah said explicitly, "Ein parin chayv min mei Shvius." So you know these are klolim which are worth remembering. Can't use paris of Meiser Sheni. You can't use paris of Shvius to pay off debts. Okay. Eloi malai ha'aleim shenu aklem nishneim biyushleim. You say take it, so we'll eat together. What's the difference? Look at this. You're right. How do you say? What's the English word for it? It's quasi. It's splitting hairs. It's splitting hairs, it's
gray.
It's a gray area. You know, the distinction between the cases. Is unclear. Yeah. But we wanted to give an opportunity to have somehow of transporting Meiser Sheni. And that's the end of the page. The next stuff, we're going to have more examples of Halachas Shel Imam. It's a very interesting page. I want to wish you guys all a very nice Freilich Hanukkah. I unfortunately will not be here for the remainder of the week. And I will not see you until next Meitzei Shabbos, because Thursday I will be coming back too late. So, you're in capable hands. Let me shut off the thing here.